Hello, and welcome to Besotted Geek. I'm Stork, but I'd rather be Margot Robbie. And let's get right to it, shall we? And we will start, as we always do, with box office. We had a big box office battle coming in this week, and it was Barbie versus Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer versus Barbie. Oppenheimer versus Barbie. Who's going to win? Nuclear devastation or cutesy, fun, bright pink things? And Barbie took top spot, and in a big way, $155 million in the opening weekend. That's huge for that movie, I feel. It's A, it's not a comic book movie. B, it's what I would perceive as a comedy, mostly. So I think those are big numbers, considering. And number two, Oppenheimer, did come in second, made $80 million. That's big, too, for a drama. It's Christopher Nolan, so you got that cachet behind it, but $80 million, that's nothing to scoff at. A lot of movies lately have been struggling, especially the opening weekend, to come up with a number like that. So kudos to those two, battling it out. And, well, Barbie pretty much doubled up Oppenheimer, but still, seemed like more of a fun, light, summertime type movie, more than the direness of an Oppenheimer movie. But there's room for both, I guess, is what's being said and it proven. So I'm kind of shocked, and it's probably good for the state of movies, what they've been recently, and theaters. I don't really care. I'm not going to the theater, but the people who love it, I think that's a good sign. And third, Sound of Freedom, I've gone into that. I don't want to discuss it. $20 million. For a total 124. It's inexplicable to me. Fourth, all the way down from number one, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part One, only made $19 million for a total of 118. That's a bit of a shock. It's a bit of a tumble from first place. I get two big movies opened up in front of it, but it couldn't even beat Sound of Freedom, which has been out longer, by the way. Yeah. So coming at fifth, Indiana Jones, Dial of Destiny, only another $6 million for 159, which it's been out 4 weeks and it barely has more than the opening weekend of Barbie. Think about that. Moving on. Insidious, The Red Door is at sixth, another $6 million, $71 million. Not bad for a little horror movie, even though it's part of a franchise, but good for you, Insidious. You're chugging along. Seventh, Elemental, $5 million for 137. Eighth, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, $2 million for 375. That's fine. Transformers Rise of the Beasts comes in at ninth with only another $1 million for a total of 155. Again, that's what Barbie made in 3 days. Tenth, No Hard Feelings, the comedy, $1 million for $49 million. Again, I think that's pretty good for a comedy. Not Barbie numbers, but it probably didn't cost much to make either. Not that I don't know. I don't know what Barbie would cost. What do you think Barbie would cost to make? I would think maybe not way under, but definitely under $50 million, I would think. I think I'm erring on a very high side with that. Even though you've got good stars in it, like Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling, I don't think it would be in the $50 million range. It's got to be under that, right? It didn't seem like it was heavily reliant on CGI or anything like that. I think it was there, but not anything spectacular. So I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it in any of these movies. So take everything I say with a grain of salt or a whole box of kosher salt, whatever you need to do. But maybe a bag of rock salt even. But that's just my looking at it from a distance with a bit of knowledge about movies and what seems out of place and out of whack, I think. I have a little bit. Some things don't pass the eye test. And I don't think it's that much of a stretch to say that. But that's our box office. And now I do have a getting to know you this week. My lovely wife and I, Peacock. I'm not Peacock, she is. I'm Stork, in case you forgot. We celebrated our 12th anniversary. So, thank you. Yes. Didn't do much, as is our usual thing. Went to our favorite brewery, Spoonwood. And had a nice lunch, a couple beers, And we watched the British Open, which I'll get into shortly. Don't worry. I'll get into that soon. For the Saturday and Sunday. And yeah, just kind of hung out and played a little bit of Zelda, watched some TV. Well, again, I'll get into that sort of thing. But yeah, just a nice laid back anniversary. And that's kind of like what we like to do. She had the day off Friday. That's when we went out. So it wasn't too crowded or crazy. And yeah, it was another nice little anniversary. Another one in the books. Another year of bliss down. So it was nice. Got some gifts. They didn't turn out so great. I have to return two of them. A sound bar that wouldn't turn on and a record that skipped. But we'll see. I'm going to try and rectify those things. But other than that, it was a nice time. Had some good food, too. Just hanging out at home. Simple things, but good. Moving on. New stuff watched this week. Let's start off with Strange New Worlds, episode 6 from season 2, Lost in Translation. I actually wrote down the name of this one. I forgot to do it. I can see already for the next one. But Lost in Translation. This one, Uhura, driven nearly mad by interdimensional aliens. So the Enterprise and a couple other ships are at this space dock, they refer to it as like a fueling station that takes particles in the air and converts it to fuel for the starships. It's not dilithium crystals, but it's kind of adjacent to that. And there's these beings that are being killed by this process, but they can only communicate with a certain few people. One person from another ship is driven mad to the point where he tries to stop this process and ends up dying by trying to stop it. And Uhura is worried that's going to happen to her. And it's a very classic Trek episode of learning about a new life form and having to decipher how they communicate with you. And she's the communications officer, so that kind of works in that level as well. We get some more Kirk. They're really forcing Kirk in at this point to me. It's like, okay, it's kind of like a cool cameo once a season, but Jesus, can we focus on Pike more than Kirk? We know where this is heading. We know Kirk's going to take over at some point. I was talking with the Professor Ryan Terry on Twitter about this, and he's theorizing that the show will evolve into just a remake of TOS, and I don't know that I want that. I can see why he would say that, because they are just shoving Kirk down our throats at this point. And it's like, well, I guess he could just take over and then it's Star Trek, like TOS. But I'm here for Pike and the crew before TOS. We already saw that. We got movies about it too. I just don't need it. So that's weighing on me in the background. But this was a great episode. Again, this, I think it's three strong episodes in a row at this point. So so far this season is basically at least 50-50 for me, positive, negative. Not as good as first season, though. I'll say that. I think first season was mostly like probably 90% positive. So yeah, there's still things that bug me. But this was a really good episode. This was a classic Star Trek episode. And I will admit that at the end, when Spock meets Kirk for the first time and they're sitting with Uhura at a bar at 10, at their 10 forward, whatever it is, which is really cool looking, by the way, it's a cool moment and a cool scene. So I still, even though as much as I bitch about, oh, you're forcing Kirk in, that moment got me. So I can't have it both ways. I realize that, but that kind of, and I actually warmed up to the character in this episode. He's very charming, much like an Eddie Redmayne. But also, he just was a nice guy. But I don't know. It still doesn't feel like the Kirk I know. Being a nice guy, maybe. I don't know. It was fun that the horror was like, stop hitting on me. Stop hitting on me. That was kind of cute. But yeah, it's too much Kirk. That's not what I want from this show, even though I like the last moment. Moving on. Enough about that. Secret Invasion, episode 5. This one got back into the espionage-iness of the show. A little more Gaia. I believe that's her. Khaleesi, you know. more Sam. It looks like Talos is actually dead, which I hate because, again, I love Ben Mendelsohn, and taking him out of a series seems like a mistake, but I guess they're doing that for the plot. More baddie, who I do like, this actor who plays the baddie. I did like the one point where, like, why don't you call in your friends, meaning the Avengers? And I'm like, budget. That's why. Well, Tony's dead. Spoilers. Cap is an old man, but there's still Avengers out there. So he's like, oh, yeah, I'm Fury. I handle this myself and things like that. I'm like, no, it's because you can't afford to have these people in the show, which kind of sucks. But I get it. I don't know. It wasn't like a stupendous app. I think the previous two were better, but it's not back to the original point where I was kind of bored. I'm all in at this point. So it's heading to, I think the next episode is the final one. So it's kind of like a setup episode, I guess, for what's to come. And I'm expecting something big from this final episode. And I don't really know what the plan is for the show in the future, if this is going to continue or not. I didn't really look into it. I haven't heard it. I'm kind of with things other than watching trailers, of course, which I'll get to again in a bit. I kind of am avoiding things a little bit because I don't want to know every single detail, which you can find out there, especially day of when the show drops. I don't want to know every single detail. Even if, as much as not knowing if the show has a future seasons planned, it kind of tells you that something's not going to happen. If it was like, this is the only season, then, oh, this something big is going to end here. Like, I would assume the bad guy gets killed if this is the only season. I don't know. So I kind of like going into it that way. And I may try and stay the course there. But again, I do look up nerd news and trailers and things like that. So there's the potential to be spoiled, but I'm not deep diving any of this stuff anymore. I don't even know if I did before. Probably not as much as other people. I don't want to be spoiled. I don't know why people go out of their way to try and find spoilers and things like that. I'm not even on X that much anymore. That's the new Twitter, by the way. X. Gonna give it to you. I don't have anything about that. Other than that's stupid. Also, what we watched this week, we just started this last night. I'm recording this Monday. Probably won't drop it till Tuesday. But Shark Week. Now, we don't have cable, so we don't have, and we don't have, I don't know, does Discovery have a streaming channel? Probably. Or they're probably affiliated with something. But we're just watching what's on Disney Channel. Has a bunch of Shark Week stuff. And it's new to me. A lot of it's 2023, so they're really focusing on great hammerheads, which I didn't know that was a term, great hammerhead. But that's been the focus of what we've watched so far. And also this guy with a widow's peak, blonde-haired guy, he seems to be in a lot of them. I only saw one great white episode last night, but I think we're in the middle of something like every, like sharks in each ocean. So that's probably been my favorite one so far. A couple of the documentaries, they really cheese it up and over-dramatize it and things like that. But this one seemed like it would be the cheesiest we had seen at this point. I think we watched two or three before we turned this one on about the four oceans. And it's actually the most interesting one. So there's this guy that just jumps in and snorkels with sharks, and he seems kind of crazy. And the opening scene, like the credits scene for each one, he's on this sunken ship, and he's wearing this mask that makes him look like Robin or something from Batman. But if you can get past that, it's actually a good series. So check that one out. Sharks of the Four Ocean or something like that. A lot of conversation. Nope. Strike that. Conservation talk. So, if that bugs you, you might be annoyed by it. But it's an important discussion to have at this point. And a lot of, even the other ones were talking about how sharks are moving further north, and sorry, if you believe it or not, that's due to warming of the waters and them needing to change where they eat, so that's leading to more attacks and things like that. I saw something, I don't think it was even related to Shark Week per se, but about, it's a documentary on HBO, or Max, if you will, about, I think it's called After the Bite. It was about a Cape Cod attack 2 years ago, I think, and dealing with that. And they have signs on the beach saying, be careful of the tides. And then the next thing is be careful of sharks. This great whites live in these waters, and don't swim next to seals, basically. Good advice. Yeah, so I love Shark Week and sharks in general and anything, even cheesy, like seeing commercials for Meg 2, is it called The Trench? Is that the subtitle? I think so. I didn't love the Meg, but this one looks like a better budget sci-fi movie, I guess. And yeah, I mean, Jaws is one of my favorite movies. I think Deep Blue Sea is the second best shark movie, and it's cheesy as hell, but I still love it. So yeah, Shark Week, check it out. And I don't know what's going on Discovery with it, but I feel like so far Disney Plus has a lot of good Shark Week shows on, and they kind of highlight it too, right on the main page, which is smart. And a lot of current, like more recent ones, there are some from a year or two ago that we've skipped over because I'm thinking I might have seen this already, because I kind of try and watch a lot of shark documentaries. This is like the one documentary I don't like the true crime stuff. I like the true shark documentaries, even though, are they that true? I don't know. I don't trust documentaries that much. But moving on. Sports ball. We did have a big major over the weekend at the British Open. And in this one, Brian Harman dominated it. He shot 13 under, won by 6 strokes. So Sunday wasn't that exciting. And Saturday, he already had the lead. And every time he faltered a little bit, and he'd faltered both Saturday and Sunday early, but he would come right back. And nobody was getting close to him. I think he was 12 under or up by 5 shots Saturday morning, or when he started the round. It got down to 3 maybe, and then he went right back up. And then same thing Sunday. I think the lead got down to 3, maybe 2, or maybe 2 on Saturday. Either way, nobody caught him at any point over the weekend, and then he just kind of like built his lead back up after he'd have a couple bogeys. So yeah, guy never won a major before. Good for him. And on the betting front, John Rahm really fucked me over on the last hole. He sunk this like 20-foot birdie putt to put him in second place, but it knocked Rory out of a tie for 5th into a tie for 6th. I had Rory McIlroy finishing top 5, so that fucked me. I did have Rahm finishing top 10, so I already had that in the bag. So him birdieing the last hole for no reason didn't really matter. I guess it mattered to him. He got into second place, whatever. But yeah, that screwed me over. And I had my other bet was Ricky Fowler top 20, and he finished tied for 23rd or something. So I missed that. If he would have shot 2 strokes better, I think it would have hit that one. So yeah, 1-1, lost 2. So I probably lost less than $2. But I was so upset, even over a dollar, when Rahm sunk that putt. I was like, really? You're killing me here. You got to be kidding me. Like, it was such a long putt, and you didn't do shit all day. And then the last hole, he sinks this thing just to screw me over. I'm fine. I'll get over it. Also in sports, the Baseball Hall of Fame, a couple new inductees. There's always more than just the players, but I'm just going over the 2 players selected, Fred McGriff and Scott Rolen. Just saying those names out loud and like the eyeball test, not looking at stats or anything like that. Just saying those 2 names to me, Fred McGriff, that's a name. That's somebody I know. And at this point, that's kind of what the Hall of Fame is. All these Hall of Fames, I think they let in way too many people. It's kind of watered down at this point. Fred McGriff, okay, I can live with that. The crime dog from those Braves teams. Scott Rolen to me, no. And maybe he's deserving, and he probably is. But I say Scott Rolen out loud, and I don't think Hall of Fame. I think Phillies, I looked him up. He played for the Cardinals. I'm sure he was a good player, but when I say that name out loud, I'm not like, oh, that's a Hall of Fame player. Maybe even Fred McGriff isn't, but if that's a name I recognize right away. I had to look up Scott Rolen a little bit. I kind of recognized it, but I wasn't like, I thought he was a Philly, and then it seems like he did more stuff with the Cardinals. So, yeah, I would say a couple watered down picks, but I would take McGriff and leave out Roland if I had my druthers. One of these days I should do a Hall of, I used to do Hall of Fame, and I think, God, I can't remember the writer I used to follow, but I think I got the idea from him, like, it should be like a pyramid, like the best of the best at the top, and then another level wider, include more people, another level. And I always thought, like, if you ever had a statistic that was really good and the best of your era or something like that, you should be in, and you start at the top, and then if somebody knocks you down, you go down a level and things like that, but you're still in the Hall of Fame. I don't know. It's interesting to me to how they pick it and how I would definitely change it. Also, my college sports, I think football and basketball have to drive what my proposition is of radical realignment for regions. I think that it's a mess. It's all money driven and it's kind of sickening. I would love to see more regional rivalries. And I had come up with something like that a long time ago about, like, well, here's what this should be. And it kind of made sense to me. They still had big schools playing big schools, but you had local little schools playing them too. And because you always want to play some scrubs just to warm up in the beginning of the season, why not make it local? And there's enough big schools in the same region to let them play each other. And screw these independents. If you don't like it, you're out. So maybe I'll get into that. Maybe I'll do a whole show on that one day, because people love the sports talk, right? Right? Okay, moving on. Let's talk about some trailers I saw. Not just movies, either. A Haunting in Venice. It's the new Kenneth Branagh Hercule Poirot movie. I'm glad they're still making these, because I think the Death on the Nile did not do well. But I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. Nice period piece. And it is coming September 15th. And it also stars Michelle Yeoh and Tina Fey and a bunch of other people. I'm sure people know, but I didn't, so I didn't write them down. And it looks pretty spooky, actually. And it looks like a kind of a cross between a mystery and a horror. And there's a murder, of course, that Poirot has to solve. But was it a ghost or was it a person? I'm sure he'll figure out it's a person. I haven't read this one, so I don't know. Also, Dark Windows coming August 18th. And this gave me Strangers vibes. Three youngish people staying at an abandoned farmhouse, and some masked weirdo starts to torment them, comes in the house, things like that. So it looked pretty good. Lower Decks season 4, two words, yoga leotards. I saw that and I was like, okay, I'm in. Of course I am. Also, a mention about the crossover with Strange New Worlds, where Mariner's like, oh, it's probably has to deal with that Pike thing we can't talk about, to Boimler. So, and then I saw that's going to be the next Strange New Worlds episode, the crossover with Lower Decks. Can't wait. So, also, I saw that they're going to do a musical episode. I can kind of wait for that one. Yeah, I like that they do weird stuff on Strange New Worlds, but that seems a little forced. I'll say it. But I cannot wait for the Lower Decks episode this week. So, and season 4 comes out, I don't have a date on that one. I think sometime in the summer or fall, or possibly the winter, maybe the spring. Yeah, I didn't see a date on that one. Invincible season 2, November 3rd on Prime. Tons of voice actors mentioned. Just, they showed all the voice actors for the main cast, season 1, I think. And then they were like, and we're adding these people. And it was like, holy shit. So I'm expecting a lot more characters. Didn't really show much as far as clips, but they did end with, like, and of course, J.K. Simmons, and they show Omni-Man. And yeah, that has yet to be resolved. So that's going to be a big part of the season, I assume. And I don't know that Jim and I have read Invincible, the first two volumes of it from Weird Science. I don't know if you mentioned, have I mentioned that? I don't know how far along we are versus the show. I feel like the show might have covered at least the first two volumes already, if not a little bit more. So I think it's kind of new to me. So looking forward to that. I enjoyed that show. Spider-Man 2 coming October 20th. This is a video game. A lot of story footage in this one. not crazy about the character designs out of suit, but man, does this game look good, and I can't wait for it. Just Venom and Kraven, and they do give you a good story in these games. Video games have come a long way, I feel, in just telling a good story. They hire good writers to write these games, and this one looks like a really good story too. So that's a nice foundation to build your game around and make you really care about the character you're playing. And kind of what I love about video games is that it really immerses you. And when there's a great story, it makes you care more, and it just makes you want to do good by the character playing. It's hard to explain, but I think they've done that so well with the Arkham series and the Spider-Man series and, oh, geez, other things like Horizon Zero Dawn and the new Tomb Raider games. And yeah, the focus on story, it's been there for a long time for video games, but when it's done really, really well, like I think it has lately, it just enhances the game so much. Even the Jedi Fallen Order game too had a really good backstory going on. So yeah, some games don't need it. Like, you don't really need, like, for Metroid, a Metroid game, you just need the gameplay to be good. It doesn't really matter what the story is. Even Zelda, to a point, there's so much gameplay that the story kind of takes a back seat. Maybe it's just not a great story. It's always Save the Princess. It's like Super Mario Brothers. They're always great games, but there's no story. So there's a place for both, but I feel like if you really want to immerse the player into the character, then that has to be there. Yeah, we can all play Mario and just have fun and bounce around and whatever, but it's you put the controller down, you forget about it. In some of these modern games where the story is so good, it kind of sticks with you. And I think that makes it a better game. And I don't know if it helps with replayability, because you're kind of like, it's, unless you really love it, it's like kind of like a book. Sometimes you read a book and you're like, well, that was really good, but you don't go back to it. But sometimes you have a favorite book and you read it 3, 4, 5 times because it's just that good. So I don't know. It's kind of a, I guess just up to who plays and how it hits you. But a lot of these recent ones have really hit me, and I don't know why you wouldn't try to make a good story at this point. All right, let's move on to some nerd news. And actually, it's a couple of, I should probably have a different sound effect, because it's going to be heavy. Well, not too heavy, because I only have two topics. But it's going to be some comics news. We can hear that over the nerd news. Pages flipping. Just imagine it. All right. New Dracula comic. It's launching a new series of Universal Monster Comics from Skybound publisher. Yeah, so Dracula is the first one coming out, and it's by the team that brought us Department of Truth, which I think I read the first one, wasn't a big fan of, but it's James Tynion IV and Martin Simmons. And I do like James Tynion's Something's Killing the Children. It's really good. I'm a little bit behind, but I do have the issues stacking up. I haven't read yet, but man, the first couple arcs of that were really good. So it's interesting. Some Universal monsters, they don't do so well in the movies. Let's see how they do on the comic book pages. If the artist is the same guy doing the covers look really cool, kind of painterly. And I'm kind of intrigued to see what the interiors are going to look like, because it's a comic, so that's going to be a big part of it. And also, it's characters that are so iconic, you kind of have to, in my opinion, and it's, they have the blessing apparently of Universal, so I assume they're going to kind of try and stick with the imagery from the movies. So I do want to see like a Lugosi Dracula and a Karloff Frankenstein and so on and so forth. I think you kind of have to do that if you have the tag. So it could be cool. I don't know what you can do new with them, or is it just going to be kind of a retelling of the, I don't think so. I don't think you hire a James Tynion to just retell the Universal movie. I think even the blurb I read that he was excited to kind of add something to it or change it up a little bit, but you can't stray too far either. So kind of interesting. I'll kind of keep my eye out for this one, and maybe we'll try and review one of these suckers on the movie show. And that's at patreon.com/besottedgeek, in case you didn't know. Also coming, a new Batman mini, Batman Gargoyle of Gotham. And this one's coming September 16th. Not sure when the Dracula's coming out. This one, that's Batman Day, by the way, September 16th. So, you know, get your cape ready. It's by Rafael Grampa. And it's going to be a black label book, so more adult, or, yeah, I guess that's the best way to describe it. They can show Wang. That's what the first one did, and people kind of made fun of it. No language restrictions, violence restrictions, anything like that. So this guy can pretty much do whatever he wants. It's going to be another twist on the Batman origin, which seems a little tired and old, but this one, he's kind of shedding the Bruce Wayne persona, just becoming Batman nonstop. So that's, I don't know, that's probably been done before too, but I haven't read it. It seems kind of interesting. Again, it'll be heavily dependent upon the art. I didn't really see a lot of art from it. And there's apparently going to be a new rogues gallery, and Batman is chasing a serial killer, which, again, has been done before. But we'll see. Batman sells. That's why they keep making these things. And it piqued my interest enough to put it in the news. So, all right, let's move on to the final subject coming soon. I forgot about this last week. But some things coming out. And first up, Resident Evil Death Island, July 25th. This is video on demand. If you have followed any of the Resident Evil animated stuff, I kind of like them. They kind of take the format, the look of Resident Evil 4 to me. And I think even the voice actor, the guy who did Leon, is heavily involved as Leon in these. So they take the characters from the games and they kind of computer animate it, and it's service. They're usually pretty decent. It's continuing the Resident Evil storylines. It's kind of, I don't know if they tie into the games that much or if they set up future games either, but it's kind of like watching the cutscenes from the games. So if you like that kind of stuff, it's even cheesy at points, but it's probably better than the movies, the live action movies. I'll go out on a limb and say that. I kind of like them better. So that's coming July 25th. I don't know if I've seen all of them, but I've seen like three or four. And they're pretty much the same. They usually get the same people in them and a lot of shooting zombies and stuff like that. So if that's up your alley, check it out. And in theaters, we got Haunted Mansion coming July 28th, the Disney pick. Looks good, actually. It looks be scary if you were a kid. So I kind of expect this one to do okay. I don't know why they're not releasing it in October. I don't get, I get why horror movies, you can't just hold on to your horror movie and throw it in October, because it would just be like, I don't think studios would even, they put them out all year because they kind of have to. They can't put this, there's only 4 weeks, right? And some studios make, that's all they do is make horror movies. So I get it, but it's not what Disney does. Like, why can't Disney hang on to this thing till October? It doesn't make any sense. Also, Justice League War World. I discussed this, I think, last week. I watched the trailer for it. That's coming July 25th as well as Resident Evil on video demand as well. Kind of shocked that's not just going to Max, but I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure it'll end up there soon. As far as sports, we got the Women's World Cup going on, I think. I think that's going on right now. And that'll continue. So if you're a soccer fan, I guess tune into that. I'm not really. If it was on TV and I was in a bar, I'd watch it. Also, if paint drying was on TV on a bar, I'd watch it. So take that for what you will. But I don't mind. I really don't mind soccer that much. I can kind of get into it, but I wouldn't go out of my way to watch it. So as far as the golf, the 3M Open is this coming weekend at TPC Twin Cities, and unsurprisingly, that is in Minnesota, in Blaine, Minnesota, and we'll see what that's all about. Usually after a major, you're not going to get a lot of players that are going to be in this thing, kind of like the John Deere Classic a couple weeks ago. You didn't get a lot of high-name players. They kind of take a week off after a major, so I don't expect to see a lot of familiar faces at this thing. I think the next big event for the PGA is going to be, oh, Jesus, I think the Ryder Cup is this year in September. So that might be the next big thing. And then the FedEx Cup, which is like their year-long tournament. I don't even know how that works because I wasn't really watching golf for a few years now, and that's kind of when it came about. So they play some sort of tournament you have to qualify for throughout the year. The people who win tournaments throughout the year get a ton of points, and if you finish second, third, so on and so forth, you get points also. And then whoever, there's like a cut of like so many players that top point getters throughout the year. And then they start playing, and I think they just play regular tournaments that are just tournaments anyway, but then it narrows down, and then, I don't know, you end up with whoever wins the final tournament of the year. That's like $10 million, I think, for the winner. It's ridiculous. But anyway, that is what's coming soon, and that's it for the show. You can follow me on X. Is it still called Twitter? Is it X now? At Besada Geek Pod. Email me. This might be the best way to get in contact with me, honestly, because I don't know about this X bullshit. BesottedGeek@gmail.com. Check out our website, BesottedGeek.com. tpublic.com/user/BesottedGeek for some merch. And patreon.com/BesottedGeek. I'm getting a warning from my recording device, limited space, so I'm going to wrap this up. Twitch.tv/BesottedGeek. Sometimes I play video games. So thanks for listening. And I will talk at you next week. See ya.